Good morning. Wendell and his team are awesome. You guys are so blessed. I feel like I've already been in church. I do. Well, I'm Pastor Marcia. I'm the senior pastor at Blue River Valley Church of the Nazarene, which very shortly will be your campus church. How cool is that? How cool is that? Because this old gal needs to retire. I want to share with you a little bit about my background before I go into the message today. I've been licensed in this district, in the NEI district, for 23 years. I'm an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene, and I have pastored for 14 years. At Muncie First Church, I was the associate pastor with Mark Dill. For those of you that know Mark, that's where I met Dylan, actually, when he was about Ty's age, his little Ty's age. So it's awesome, awesome, awesome how God brings things back around full circle. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that today. I am married to an amazing man. He's in ministry with me. His name is Joe. We do chaplain work for Ball State women's sports. So we're always surrounded by these beautiful athletes, right? And by the way, FYI, our volleyball team, our women's volleyball team won the MAC. Yay, Ball State. And they are going into the final championship this week. So this will be a busy first of the week for us as we go and chaplain and support those amazing student athletes. In that ministry that we've done for more than 20 years, I have had the privilege as a pastor to marry 20 student athletes over the years. And I'll tell you guys, there's nothing cooler than seeing that gorgeous gal coming down the aisle at me that I've seen in all stages of her college career. There's nothing better. God has blessed me so richly with that. But that's kind of about me. And I wanted to share with you how this all came about, for those of you that don't know. Why am I here? Why is Dylan over at my church? Well, last May, I had something pretty hurtful happen at my church with a staff member, and I found myself all alone pastoring again, right? Doing it all, from cleaning the toilets to everything. In a small church, you do everything as the senior pastor. And I knew that God had laid it on my heart that it was time to step down and let young leadership come into the pulpit. I knew that, but I didn't know what to do. I talked to our district superintendent. I talked to a couple of other colleagues, and they didn't know either. They didn't know. There was really no one that would fill that pulpit with the criteria that we have, okay? So I thought, what am I going to do? I could not let that precious church that I had worked so hard to build up from the ground up, basically, close. And that's what was going to happen, right? So I had to call Dylan. I was sitting in a parking lot. I remember this just like it's yesterday. I had to call Dylan and ask him a question. And we got into this long conversation about the struggle that I was going through at BRV. And he said, well, you know, at district, they're talking about churches merging all the time. And I'm like, well, who would I merge with? And he said, me. And that's kind of how it started. We had that conversation back in May. We met with the district superintendent. We were told we needed to, of course, go through our boards, through our congregations. You guys know the story, right? Because you've been part of that. We had to write a ministry plan proposal, which we did that while Dylan was on sabbatical here a little while ago. It was accepted not only by the district, but it was accepted by, you know, the Kansas City office as well. So we're a thing. I'm part of you now, like it or not, like it or not. My official date for retirement is May 1st, and I will preach for the last time at BRV on April 30th. That feels a little bittersweet, to be honest with you, but it's so exciting to know what God is doing. I am about in the middle of my doctorate at Ball State, and I'm passionate about that. So I suspect that I'm going to be spending a lot more time in school and doing those things. But thank you, thank you, thank you for saying yes to Blue River. Thank you. They're amazing. They're an amazing group of people. They already love you. I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of us. Our official open house, write this down, put it in your calendars because y'all need to be there, is January 8th. And Pastor Dylan will be preaching that day, and then we will have a celebration afterwards with, I'm sure, food and cake and all that good stuff. Okay, January 8th is our official open house. My message today is on community. How fitting, right? Because we're joining this community and you're joining with us. The scripture today that I have is from Colossians 3, 12 through 14. And it is this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that's here today. Just praise your precious and holy name. Just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak to my brothers and sisters that will become part of our church and will become part of theirs. Thank you, Lord, for moving your hand in only a way that you could do. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this scripture that I just read, Paul offers us a strategy here to help us live for God every day. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you some things to write down. We are to imitate Christ's compassion, his forgiving attitude. That's not always easy, is it? That's not always easy, especially if someone hurts you bad. But we're to imitate Christ's compassion. Number two, we're to let love guide our heart. And I've seen that with you all. I've had several of you reach out to me and offer me love. I had a wonderful coffee date this morning with Miss Jennifer. She's so precious. And she just wants to get to know me better. And I want to get to know her. I want to get to know all of you. I was a counselor for 18 years, so my bend is to ask questions, right? That's my bend. Number three, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart always. Peace. Jennifer and I spoke a little bit about peace this morning and how at this decade in my life, I just turned 61, And in this decade in my life, that is my biggest blessing right now, is that God has given me peace. I feel peace. No matter what arrows Satan throws at me, and he does, I feel peace. Because I know who holds my heart. Number four, and here we go into Thanksgiving, but I want to challenge you to do this every day. Always, always, always be thankful. Always. Always. I have a thankful journal, and I get it out in the morning, and if I only have one thing to write down that I'm thankful about, I write it down, and then I pray about it all day long. Many times I have 10 or 15 things that I write in my journal. Have a thankful journal. Not just on Thanksgiving. Number five, keep God's word in you at all times. Hold his word close to your heart. Hold his word close to your heart. And number six, and I think this is probably the most important, we must live as Jesus Christ's representative. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we must live as his representative. Because the clock is ticking, right? The clock is ticking. Remember, when it talks about forgiveness in this scripture, and the Bible, of course, talks about forgiveness a lot, so it's important. But remember, the key to forgiving others is to remember how much God forgave you. Wow. Right? Remember how much he forgave you. Remember how much he forgave me. We did not deserve that, did we? Realizing God's infinite love and forgiveness can help you love and forgive others more easily, right? So the scripture that is the basis of this message this morning, community. And I love this scripture because if you dive deep into it and read, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Matthew Henry's commentary, but when I'm writing my messages, I always have Matthew Henry's commentary open because it dissects scripture in a way that is easier to understand. So you might look for that. You know, there's many people in this world that claim that they know Christ, right? But then they turn around and claim that they don't go to church because they don't believe in organized religion. Have you heard that one? Yeah, I hear that a lot as a pastor, especially right post-COVID, because you can sit in your jams. And for those of you at home that are watching live stream, please don't hear me saying that's a bad thing. That's a good thing. I work in my pajamas, people. I do, because I work at home. My job at Ball State is to work from home. There's many days at 5 o'clock when my husband comes home from work, I have on my jammies from when he saw me going to bed the night before. Why would you get dressed when it's multi-purpose clothing, right? Anyway, I digress. But they say they don't believe in organized religion. And of course, my first thought is to ask them, did you like it better when it was disorganized? Huh? When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's from that moment on, whether or not you like it, that you become a member of his church. Even if you do not officially put your name on the roster and become a member of the church, you're still a member of the church. You're a member of the body of believers. Because, and this is not news to any of you, because any of you who put your faith in Christ are children of God. And you all become members of the same family. I love that part because here's the deal. I'm your sister now, right? Some of you, I'm your mom. Many of you, I'm your grandma. I like that job, by the way. I like that. My grandchildren are all teenagers now, so I need some baby grandchildren, by the way. We're all part of the same family now. I'm Middletown. I love this. I love this. We can no more be Christians and have nothing to do with the church than we can be a person and not be a member of the family. We have to get involved. We have to take our church seriously. For the church to function in unity, it must first be part of the community. And you know what? I'm a big one. I know my husband and I have talked about this a lot, and we're probably going to be here a lot once I retire. We're going to be bouncing back and forth from here and the campus church. I'm training up three leaders at Blue River that are astounding. Astounding. And God orchestrated all that. I just can't wait to see all the good that they will do. But I love the thought of community. And you guys are surrounded outside these walls by community. By people that have never heard the goodness of Jesus Christ. We got to get out of these seats, folks. We got to get out of these seats and go out into the community and love these people because they're lost. All you have to do, Jennifer and I talked about this morning too, all you have to do is watch news for 5 minutes, right? And oh, wow, the tragedies this week. And if you've got a granddaughter in college, some of that you saw this week really breaks your heart, doesn't it? No child of God is an only child. Praise the Lord, right? But just like families, we don't get to pick who we let into our families. You may not have known that you were going to get this loud, bouncy blonde coming into your family. But here she is. Here she is. I'm sure that there's some of us who would have liked to have chosen whether whether we got brothers or sisters, right? Or perhaps we have that one weird uncle we would not even want to be part of our family, right? But we don't get to make that choice. And the Christian community is just like that, guys. We don't get to choose who God calls into his kingdom. And like any community of diverse people, our church community is susceptible to the fact that we're not always gonna get along. Is that news to anybody? If it is, let's chat in the foyer afterwards. Because we're just people, right? We've got personalities. We've got quirks. There will be people in our Christian community that are difficult to love and even hard to be around at times. As a senior pastor, do I know this one intimately? It's tough sometimes. It really is. And you wonder, where are they coming from? You know, where is that coming from? The reason for this is just because you become a Christian does not mean you suddenly become accepting of all people and automatically love all people no matter who annoys you. It's true. I mean, I have a class on campus this semester at Ball State, and we're all doc students, so I'm the oldest always, you know, surprise, but and I like that actually. But you talk about diversity. My. Lots of diversity. But you know what? I go in there with the armor of Christ and the attitude of Christ, and I have met some amazing, loving, kind young people that are nothing like me, that I would do anything for. How cool is that? Because I went in there with the armor of Christ and the attitude of Christ. You know, when we do this, it doesn't mean that we're going to suddenly become immune to our emotions and never hate, envy, or become jealous of another person in the church. It doesn't mean that. But becoming a Christian does not mean that we will go through some magical metamorphosis and suddenly become a great conversationalist that has no problem at all being engaging in every word that is spoken, or that you'll become a glowing inspiration to everyone you meet. Our personalities are all different. You know, I've never met a stranger in my life. In 61 years, I've never met a stranger. I love, 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 love people. And I'm a talker. And as a counselor, you can imagine that that probably got in the way a few times because I had to zip this and hear what they were saying. And I learned how to do that. And I feel like I was good at that through learning how to actively listen. And again, have the attitude of Christ. What does this person need, right? Not all of us have personalities like mine. You're foolish to expect that. But here's the deal. You can use your personality, your gifts, your talents, your abilities to serve Jesus Christ. All the time. The young lady that was singing up here today, she gave me chills. And I can see her. She's right in front of me. She gave me chills. Wow, what a beautiful voice. You guys are blessed. You know, and Wendell, he's got that country bluesy thing going on. I love it. I love it. The bottom line is there's no such thing as a perfect Christian community. When Blue River Valley and Middletown merge, whatever you want to call it, and we become Middletown Church of the Nazarene Blue River Campus, which is going to be our official title, there's going to be times where you're not going to like me, and I may not like you. There's going to be community members that get cranky at times, and some of them are going to be annoying, and some of them will try our patience, right? But through it all, we are to remain united as one community built on the foundation for love for Christ. And that's what happened that day. I was sitting in my car saying, Dylan, I got nothing. I'm so tired. I'm so weary. I got nothing. And he said, what about this? What about this? I want each and every one of you to know that you've got a pastor that loves you, that loves this church, that would do anything for you. And he's young, and he's hip, and he's energetic. And I try to feed off that a little bit because it's encouraging to me that we have young leaders like that rising up in the Nazarene church. I'm a cradle Nazarene. I was baptized and saved at 10 years old in the Nazarene Church in Yorktown, where Marty Ballard used to pastor. But that was four or five pastors ago from where I was. The Nazarene Church is a beautiful church. It has a love for people. I can imagine one day sitting around a table with Jesus and one of his disciples when he makes the statement, a new commandment I give to you. The idea of a new commandment perks our ears and we lean closer so that we don't miss a word. Here it is. That you love one another. That's not new, is it? Is it brand new? Nope. And we struggle, don't we, to do that in spite of our differences. And when I walked into that classroom for the first time last fall and I saw the young people coming in, the 30-somethings, the 40-somethings, which believe me, that is very young now. And I heard what they were about and I heard what their thoughts were. I thought, oh dear, oh dear. And I prayed. I went home and prayed. God, use me to love them, to encourage them, to let them know that a crazy old Nazarene pastor can love them right where they're at. Right where they're at. No matter what that looks like. And that's what we have to learn to do. Because let me tell you, the world outside these doors doesn't look like it does in here. Right? In this same scenario at the table with Jesus that I just spoke of, Jesus brings down the hammer and he says, just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. And by this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. So is that what I did? Is that what I'm doing in class when I have love for them? Because many people, When you have introductions in school, you know, what do you do for a living? I'm always nervous. I got to be honest with you. I'm always nervous to say I am a full-time Nazarene pastor. And you can see some of the expressions sometimes. Oh, she's going to be a Bible beater. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. And then they start to see. And then they allow me to breathe love into them. And it's been incredible. My teacher, we had a class on Zoom last Wednesday night so that we could all just kind of have a chill and not have to drive to campus. And as we were signing off, my teacher, who is Hispanic, she's one of the most beautiful ladies I've ever seen in my life. She told us she loved us. She said, I love you guys. Have a nice Thanksgiving. What college professor does that? She has felt the love and the acceptance of this diverse group of people, and I bet you that's why. I bet you that's why. As a community of believers, this is our standard that we must strive for, to have love for one another. But we must strive to function together, even knowing that there's going to be trouble, there's going to be disagreements. We must always be aware that the world is watching. They're judging the love of Christ by how we love one another and function together as a community of believers. They're watching us now. Amen? They're watching us now to see how we behave. The way that we have to do this, guys, is with love. Is with love. Not earthly love, right? Because many times we don't have that capacity. But with a heavenly love. I love the song selections that Wendell had today. I just loved them. I mean, it sung about all this that I'm speaking about today. A love that is built on a common bond we all have through Jesus Christ. A love that supersedes anything we can find on earth. And if you've been married for a long time like I have, I mean, ladies, I'm sorry, but I got to testify here. I got the greatest husband that walks the earth. He is amazing. He owns my heart. I love him that much. He's such a sweet, kind, loving person. But here's the thing. Jesus loves him 1,000 times more than I do. Isn't that cool to think about? My husband's a believer. He's a godly man, and Jesus loves him more than I do. It supersedes anything that we feel that we have on earth. There's nowhere in Scripture where we're told to be alone, right? You know that. To act alone, to stay alone. I think COVID restricted us, and that was my hardest thing about COVID. I don't know about you, but oh my goodness, I had to close my church, which I'll never do that again, by the way. Of course, my time clock's ticking, isn't it? But I'm telling you right now, I had to close my church. I had to learn new technology, which I didn't want to learn. To be honest, I wanted to see my people. I love this. I love seeing your sweet faces. We are meant to be in community with one another. In the book of Genesis, God states, it is not good that man should be alone. God is relational, and there's a holy communion between Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And having been made in His image, we have an internal desire to be among others, to be relational. You know, funny little side note. When I went to kindergarten, there was no such thing as kindergarten. We had private kindergarten. Do some of you remember? Help me, please. Help me, please. No, nobody remembers. Well, I know some of you are older than me. Well, we had private kindergarten, so Mom and Dad had to send me to a little private kindergarten. And I didn't want to know when snack time was. I didn't want to know those things. I wanted to know, what's your mama do? What's your daddy's name? I was always wanting to be in relation. Always wanting to build relation. So that was wired into my DNA. So when I talk to you, if you want to have coffee with me, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. Did I do okay today, Jennifer? Excellent. Thank you, baby. But I want to know about you because why? I care. I want to be in relation with you. Jesus knew when he surrounded himself with the 12, the roots of the church are based in community. As more and more people were added to the community of believers in the book of Acts, it says the Lord added to that number day by day. When we gather together to worship, we do this with other people, and we have one thing in common. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. We need the Savior. Some of us are sinners that are forgiven, haven't already put their faith in Christ. Others are sinners seeking Christ. That's why, guys, it's important that we get out of these walls and go tell others. I love it that you're going caroling. Because those people, a lot of times, are the forgotten, aren't they? They're the forgotten. My little church is going caroling at a nursing home that we've adopted in Newcastle December 18th. And I can't wait because those people are forgotten. The inconvenient fact is that no matter who they are or why they're here, we are community. You're my community. You're my family. I don't have a lot of family. I don't have any siblings. Both my parents are gone. You're my family. And again, as a side note, I love grandchildren, so bring it on. Bring it on. I told Dylan here not very long ago, I said, if you need a surrogate grandma to babysit if one of the kids gets sick, call my number. I'll be there. And I'm not kidding. I love them. Within our community, we have but one task, and that is to love one another and welcome everybody with open arms that are seeking, no matter what their deal is. And I've had people say to me in the Nazarene church, oh, you don't like this, and you don't like that, and you don't like them, and you don't. I'm like, mm-mm. No, that's not true. It's not true for me. My church is open to anybody that is seeking. True faith had and always will have a social dynamic involved of loving each other. The wonderful thing about a church community is that God does not play favorites. Although Sister Janelle, she'll get right up there at the podium and say, I'm Jesus' favorite. Says it all the time, Wendell. You got to calm her down. No, I love her. She's precious. You guys got to get her over here to sing because, wow, she's a good one, isn't she? He loves all of us equally, and we should strive to do the same, to love like Jesus. People are going to get hurt by others in the church. It's going to happen. It's happened to me a bazillion times. Here's what I do with that. When I get really hurt, and I've been really hurt in the church, 23 years worth. But here's what I do. I take it to him. I ask him to release me from unforgiveness, and I journal about it. And I've got stacks of journals full of stuff. And that's what helps me. I don't know if that would help you all, but that's what helps me. Because you're going to get hurt. And often when we're hurt or discouraged by someone in the church, we have a tendency to pull away, don't we? Lots of people leave because of that. I've had people leave my church because I answered the phone the wrong way. Honest. I had food in my mouth, and I answered the phone because I saw who it was. And they left. We've all got different personalities. We can avoid these tendencies, and we can avoid many of the conflicts by paying attention to what God is teaching us in his word, right? In that scripture that I read to you at the beginning of church. You got to remember that our one true purpose in community with others is to seek to build personal relationships with Jesus Christ and tell them about it. Tell them about him. Tell them about how he has done miracles in your life. I mean, I don't have the time to tell you the miracles he's done in my life from when I was in my 20s all the way on. In doing so, guys, we build a personal relationship with each other. I care about you. I told Jennifer that this morning. I care about you, and I want to know about you. Tell me about you. And though these relationships we develop disciples, and then we can guide people and help them grow and be more Christ-like. Has anybody ever read anything from Dietrich Bonhoeffer? I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Thank you. Oh, he's my favorite. I've got a movie of his I'll share with you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor during Nazi Germany. Can you imagine? And he said, "Not what a man is in himself as a Christian. His spirituality and piety constitutes the basis of our community. What determines our brotherhood is what that is by reason of Christ. Our community with one another consists solely in what Christ has done for us." Wow, that's pretty powerful. What has Christ done for you, guys? What pops into your head when I ask that question? Is it a healing? Is it saving one of your family members from the gates of hell? We're all set apart for service to one another, all of us. The Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to them. We need accountability, don't we? They need each other again and again when they become uncertain and discouraged, for by ourselves we cannot help ourselves without belying the truth. The psalm compares God's blessings and his desire for community to the dew that falls on the mountain. Hermon is the highest mountain in the area of Jerusalem, and it sits more than 9,000 feet above the desert floor. And because of the altitude in the morning, there accumulates a heavy dew on the ground. The dew settles the dust and refreshes the land every morning, producing life-giving moisture for the plants and animals that live on that mountain. The Christian community, guys, our fellow brothers and sisters, is much like that dew. It helps hold down the dust that arises whenever a large group of people meet, and it refreshes our souls as we worship together and remind each other of the love found in an anointing from Jesus Christ. Do you love him today? He's everything. He is everything. In the community, in unity, our lives are a series of endless mornings with the expectation that the dew will come and it refreshes. There's lots of songs, aren't there, Wendell, about the morning. Maybe this is why. To function properly as the church, we need this refreshing, and this refreshing can only happen in the midst of community. BRV and NCOM, we're community. The community found in church is only partially realized on earth. You know that, right? Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? Wow. There's great joy and blessing coming as we look at great expectation to our eternal community with Christ Jesus. Do you ever just close your eyes and see his sweet face? And wonder if when you see him, he's going to do this. And then this. I tear up when I say that. Because I can feel his love sometimes in my life like a hug. That's what community is. A hug. When you feel lost, when you feel down. When you feel alone, we all have a desire to belong and to fit in. And God gives us an opportunity to belong to him, to belong to the greatest community that has ever existed, the body of believers in Christ Jesus. And as I close today, I just want you to know that you are loved extravagantly. Extravagantly. No matter what anybody else has said to you, you are loved beyond measure. As we become children of God, it is by his great mercy that we can be born again. I remember getting saved at an altar just like this when I was 10. And rising up and walking away and thinking, wow. Now that didn't mean that my path was paved in gold. That didn't mean from 10 to 61 that it's been a bed of roses, because it hasn't been. But I was just sharing with my best friend this morning, who's going through some really deep heartbreak with her adult daughter. Really deep. And I said, you know, I'm so sorry you're going through this, but God, my Jesus, has prepared me for this with you. Because I've been where you're at. I've hurt over mistakes that my adult children make. And I've been where you're at. And he's prepared me. Do you ever feel that way? That because of your journey, that because of your story, that God is going to use you. Because he will if you open up your heart. We're free from death and free from sin because of what Christ accomplished on that cross and through the resurrection. Hallelujah, right? Would you stand with me as I pray, please? Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your Spirit here today. Thank you for the sacrifice that you paid for us on that cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the nail-scarred hands and feet. And Father, I just ask you right now to go through this congregation and to wrap your arms around each and every person here today. to help them feel your warm embrace, to help them feel that they are loved extravagantly by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and no matter what they are facing, that you will use their journey, that you will use their story to love and encourage others. You are so amazing and so greatly, greatly, greatly to be praised. As we close here today, Lord, I just ask you with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, that if there's anyone here today that needs to know what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ looks like, so that I can pray for them, if I could see a hand, please. All eyes bowed. All eyes closed. I see that hand. And I just ask, Lord, as Wendell and his team begin to close, that if there's anyone here that wants to come down and pray, that you will remove any reservation and that we will pray with them. Father, as we go about into Thanksgiving, I just ask that each and every person here today feels the love of Jesus, feels a thankfulness, and enjoys their families. You are so amazing. We love you so much. Amen.